Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee and join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
Great to have you company this Wednesday afternoon. Hey, wherever you are, if the rain is pouring down, if the sun is shining, whatever, it's time to take 25. Put your feet up, relax, and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. That song, it just kind of makes me wiggle around a bit. Hey, do you know what I saw the other day? I was having a meeting with a person in Albany, and I was watching I'm going to be a bit sarcastic here, our one Air Force plane go round and round, and I'm thinking, there's got to be something wrong, and I kept getting distracted, and in the end, I think he wondered what I was looking at, and I said, Jack, I said, that plane has gone round now for the fourth time. And of course, this was just after the tragedy in the weekend where we had the two light planes crash. And I said, there's got to be something wrong with that plane. It's not like there's not enough room on, you know, is it the Whenuapai Air Base to actually land our one plane, you know?
Got the point.
But anyway, as I drove away, they were obviously doing an exercise because I saw them four parachutists just suddenly pop out the bottom of the plane. So they must have been, you know, doing an exercise and dropping them off. So it was actually quite exciting.
I have this vision of this plane going round and round with the instructor inside trying to kick these guys out because perhaps they're too scared to jump.
maybe so. Maybe that's why. They're like, come on, guys, it's your turn now. No, no.
Yes. I think it's wonderful how they do all this practice. So Coast Guard did a flare exercise on Tuesday, just teaching all their wonderful volunteers who save so many people's lives in New Zealand. And yeah, there was this big flare exercise, sending off all these flares of three boats out and all spaced so many kilometres apart so that you could see how far you could see the flares in the distance and so on and so forth.
Actually, that's a really interesting thing. I wouldn't have no idea how visible is that flare?
Well, it depends which ones they are. Of course, the parachute flare is much more visible than the handheld flares. But it just attracted. I mean, it was well advertised that they would be setting off flares, so for nobody to get into any panic or anything. But it was amazing the amount of helicopters we attracted around. I don't know where they came from, but I mean, obviously Westpac and the police and everybody knew about the exercise. So it wasn't them. It must have been, I don't know, private. I don't know. I have no idea who these helicopters
were. Isn't that interesting? Mm.
But it was It was like, hey, guys, these are flares. We don't want you coming down too low.
Well, of course,
Landing in their cockpit.
Yeah.
But yes, it was really, really, really interesting. And flares haven't changed much over the years, except they now do have a laser flare, which was a huge disappointment.
Oh.
So
how does that work? Is that just like a laser beam thing?
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen all sorts of pyrotech shows, however you say that word, and the lasers shoot way up into the sky and you can see them for miles, but these flares that we had weren't terribly wonderful, so it'll be interesting to see how they improve on that.
Be interesting actually to see how far or the visibility of a flare also through fog. If it's very foggy, because, well, we know visibility, what it's like when it's foggy. Yeah, that would be quite interesting too.
Very, very little fog absorbs light, so bright light, so it's very little in a fog. That's when you go to all the bells and whistles and noises rather than the visual things.
Are they expensive to have a flare? Actually,
yes.
I've never really... Oh, okay, so that's a hard one, isn't it, then? And maybe why people don't have them when... Well, we all should, but if it's quite costly,
No, only people in boats, really.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Yeah.
But I always had them on my boat. I mean, sure, it costs you a little bit of money and they do expire. You have to keep getting them updated. But if we didn't use them, New Year's Eve was always a wonderful time to set your flares off. Totally illegal, of course.
But Coast Guard wants to know that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of imagining when you are in a space where everybody else is letting them off. Yeah. No, but interesting, isn't it, that it saves lives. So
it does, and I just love seeing the amount of time and effort that all these volunteers put into their training so that they become these, you know, highly skilled individuals that can go rescue people. I just think it's brilliant. I don't think they get enough,
enough recognition
about it.
Yeah, no, that's true. So you're sounding a bit croaky today.
Very croaky. You know, the old flu bug, cold bug, whatever you want to call it, bug that goes around at this time of the year, and trying very hard not to cough here. But, it's a normal thing, and it's really, really funny because I've got so many clients who are such ardent believers of the flu injection every year, and every year they are the sickest people I ever see with flu bug. So I'm just totally dead against the flu injection.
Oh, I think you're like me too, and it's an interesting argument too. I mean, we do have to acknowledge, I suppose, that way back when influenza wiped out half of the people, but I think we've come a long way. So I don't know why in this modern world we suddenly, you know, being asked to get these flu jabs nowadays. It's interesting. I think I can see maybe for the elderly people or more vulnerable health-wise, but I don't know. I don't believe in them either. I think my body should be able to do, if I look after it, My body should be able to figure itself out.
It's the same old thing, isn't it? It's your body building the antibodies, and if you've constantly been given something so your body doesn't have to do it, then your body's going to stop building the antibodies after a period of time. But I also think it's a little bit of, you know, they're trying to help people overcome a sickness that is prevalent every year, but they actually do not really have it right. So instead of telling the people that and saying, it's a load of crap, don't take it, you know, they're still trying to convince everybody that this is worth it. And that is probably back to my pharmaceutical things where they make money out of it. So, you know.
Could well be. It could just be a big marketing ploy, couldn't it? I mean, I'm sure it does have its place, but it would be interesting to actually know why suddenly it's become a big thing in this modern society when, you know, we've been over it for so many, many years. Hey, talking about that, so when you've got a cold or flu, whatever it is, a head cold, flu, whatever, you know, we get these in winter, what do you do for it? What are the things that you do?
Nothing really that much different. I just up my natural vitamin intake, and I'm going to be shot down in flames here, but there is one thing I take that is man-made, that is not natural, and it's called sodium ascorbate, and it is a vitamin C that is man-made, and you can take it in large doses because you need large doses of vitamin C. We used to get it naturally, and we don't get it naturally anymore. Even most of our plants and things have a much lower level of vitamin C in them than what they ever did in the past. So I up that intake. Your body throws out what it can't absorb, what it doesn't need, and it keeps what it can use. So it's perfect.
Interesting talking about vitamin C, because isn't it interesting how Mother Nature provides at the right time? So it is the time where you've got all of your lemons, your oranges, your limes, and your mandarins. That's the time now that we use them. And my trees are laden, actually.
Oh, did you bring me any?
No, I totally forgot. But my lemon tree's laden. My lime tree is laden now. But I have a problem with my lime tree because I'm not sure whether they're yellow limes or green limes. So, but anyway, I've been trying some, but I've suddenly seen even bigger ones on the other side of the tree. So, but the limes, even as I'm getting them off as green, as they're really quite yummy. So yes, I'll bring some of those.
So they're quite sweet, are they? Like tart sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get limes that really make you pucker up on those.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
no.
Then you can get the ones that are tart sweet they're really yummy.
Yeah, yeah. I think they are. It's a bit of a thorny bush. You have to be careful when you kind of put your hand in there.
Awesome.
It kind of catches you. So, yeah, I'll bring some of those in. But, yeah, no, it reminds me. So it reminds me, actually, when you talk about vitamin C and we're talking about citrus, of the hot and cold food that the Chinese believe in. I call it, I kind of probably refer to it as the yin-yang of food, but for them, food has properties, and some have heaty properties, some have cooling properties, and so when you have too much heat in your body, you want to be eating more cooling foods to bring that heat down and bring your body back into balance. So at this time of the year for them, mandarins out, because mandarins is a hot food, but lemons and oranges, cool food. So as we've got a head cold or whatever, we've got too much heat in our body, so oranges and lemons are in.
I don't get the difference between mandarins and oranges.
No, well, neither do I, but it must be some kind of makeup. And I suppose when you, I don't know what it is. But I remember one of my students actually also telling me about this. I went in there one year and I had laryngitis, or I started at the beginning of the day with a voice, but at the end of the day had absolutely no voice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they were all very patient with me. And then the next weekend I saw them, I brought in this huge bag of mandarins because Mum had this tree absolutely laden, you know, and I said, hey, thanks guys for, you know, putting up with me last week. And so they all helped themselves at morning tea and I also helped myself. And one of the elderly Chinese students I had came up to me and said, Mariska, don't eat that. I said, oh, no, it's all good, you know, vitamin C. And he said, trust me, don't eat it. And anyway, he went off to morning tea and I ate it. And, you know, next one, I'm, you know, 20 minutes later, I'm coughing and spluttering again and I kind of winked at him and said, well, it must have been that mandarin. Anyway, at lunchtime, I did sit down and talk to him and said, tell me about that. And he said, well, mandarins are hot food, and so you're putting more heat in your body. And so there must be just something in the makeup of how different to an orange and a lemon.
Mm, it'd be interesting to explore that. Let's see if we can get somebody to come and talk about it. It'd be awesome.
It's also, you know, you can, generally speaking, and I'm saying generally here, hot foods need a lot of sun to grow in. Your cold foods need can grow with you know, in the shade. But when you Google, if you just Google hot and cold food China, you'll probably I suppose it's akin a little bit to our alkaline and acidity type foods. But it's a philosophy that they do live their life by. A lot of, not all, of course, but a lot of them do. So bringing your body back into balance with food and how that works for you.
Well, I actually believe in that wholeheartedly. Mm. So most of the countries that follow those regimes don't have as many health problems as what we do.
Yeah.
So. But that's interesting about, I never realised, so I'll have to find out the difference. And, yeah, when you think about it, mandarins do need a much hotter climate than what oranges need. So,
yeah. Mm. And if you taste them side by side, they're actually, the mandarin's quite a different. Yeah, I don't know.
Depends where they come from.
Yeah. We've got three different mandarin trees and we can, actually it's quite interesting, we can taste very much the difference between all of them. But and the other thing is, which I always used to drink, and since I've been learning about the hot and cold food, and again, it may be total coincidence, but half of it, I think, is mental anyway, isn't it? You know, if you believe in it, it's going to cure you. But I always used to also have honey, ginger, and lemon.
Oh, yes. That's why I need some lemons, please.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a perfect combination.
Take the ginger out. The ginger's a hot food.
Oh, no.
So honey and lemon will work very well when you've got too much heat in your body. But the ginger puts more heat in your body. So, and that's like having apparently ginger tea, hot food. Green tea, cold food. So,
wow, I am going to have to look that up then, because honey, ginger and orange has been has been way on my agenda at the moment.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. And when I took that ginger out, I must say, but again, you know, when you learn these things, is it a mental thing? But it doesn't matter if it is, because it kind of seemed to work. But I've just kind of been looking at that and thinking, how do I feel when I eat that mandarin compared to that orange, or have lemon and versus, you know, putting that ginger in?
Mm. But hey, what about the old time recipes? I mean, you know, remember the Vicks and, I mean, what is Vicks?
Who knows, but it's everywhere. It doesn't matter what country you're in, you can find
Everybody's
Vicks.
Everybody's got Vicks, haven't they? And it does clear your head so well. But
so where do you put your Vicks?
Under my nose. Where do you put your Vicks?
What is it interesting? As with my parents growing up, it was under the nose and on my chest.
Exactly, yeah.
However, just recently I've heard on your feet.
Oh, really?
So before you go to bed, slather your feet with Vicks, put some socks on. I think the socks a bit more about so you don't get Vicks all over your bed, you know. And you'll sleep like a baby.
But it could keep the heat in as well. Ooh, I can do with sleeping like a baby, so I might give that a shot.
Give it a go.
Mm, what about the garlic? Garlic's always been some sort of a flu, cold, health type thing. So.
Garlic seems to have lots of body properties or something.
It has. It's so good for you. It's amazingly good for you. And it keeps the witches away.
Ah, hey, we've got to keep those witches away. Actually, I've heard, and again, you know, these ones that I'm just sharing with you now have come from people on some of the courses I take when we kind of say, you know, share a traditional family remedy. And so for many, for a cold or flu, they will strap a clove of garlic to their feet at night. And they say by the morning it's like black, but apparently it draws out all your toxins.
Wow, if it turns black, it must draw out the toxins. And well, that puts a whole new connotation on stinky feet, doesn't it?
Yeah. It certainly does, doesn't it?
Garlicky breast, garlicky feet.
I might try it, because it's interesting. You know, I thought with the Vicks, I thought, on your feet, how stupid is that? But I thought, well, no, I'm going to try it. And I have tried it, and it seems to work. You know, certainly when I've kind of gone to bed all stuffed up and everything else, but usually you don't sleep, you know, but no, it, I don't know. Again, it might be a mental thing, but who cares? It seems to have worked. So I might try the garlic.
Yeah, I really love looking at some of the old-fashioned, you know, the many years ago remedies that they have for all sorts of things. And if you go back and look at them and where they originated from, it all makes sense, you know.
And I think so, and that's why I kind of wondered about ginger. So where that, I'm presuming, has come from an English background, I would say, the honey, lemon and ginger. I don't know.
Well, I don't think the ginger was added. I think it was just honey and lemon was the English background.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have added ginger as Asian foods and products have become more available. We've sort of, because ginger has got massive amounts of really good stuff in it as well.
Yeah.
And I just love the flavour of it. I love it in my cooking. I love it in everything. And ginger grows once again in a hot climate. So there's your hot and cold medicine thing going on.
Interesting. Apples are a cold food, which, you know, we always had that saying, didn't we? An apple a day keeps the doctor away. And that usually comes up in, I suppose, in winter, that type of, you know, when you start hearing that. Although, I mean, that does need a little bit of sun to grow, but we're just kind of coming out of our apple season. So apples are cold food, so good for our cold. So that kind of works with our apple a day keeps the doctor away as well. Yeah.
Really interesting Asian medicine, isn't it?
Well, I think all of those old, and even if we think back to some of our Māori medicine here, which is not so, I suppose, not many people know too much about it as well, but again, using the stuff that grows here in New Zealand and how that's been used.
I know. I think it's really sad that we're losing all those. My mother-in-law was the most amazing person, and I'll never forget her teaching me how to use dock leaves and spider webs and things like that. Spider webs just heal cuts so quickly.
Oh,
so it stops
I've got
bleeding.
Spider webs around the house.
Well, you cut yourself, you put a spider web on it and it stops the bleeding really, really quickly.
Wow.
Something in the toxins in the web sort of coagulate your blood and stops it from bleeding quickly. And the other thing was dock leaves was bruising. One of my brother-in-law's was up a tree and he dropped a tomahawk on his head and it landed directly in between his eyes, just on that hard bone in the middle there. Luckily it was the blunt back of it and not the front blade of it, and she just got all these dock leaves and it came up in this massive big egg, and she just put all these dock leaves in boiling water, got them all hot and sort of put them on like a poultice and took all the bruising away, took all the swelling down. Yeah, it's amazing.
Isn't it interesting? Mm. I think I'm quite fascinated, you know, by some of those things. And I suppose even when you think of medicine today, it's all derived from plants at some stage. I think we've just mucked it up too much. But to just think of what nature gives us, you know, we don't need half the stuff, do we? We can just, if we knew these things, if we passed this knowledge down, you know, we'd be sitting here with a wee bit of a croak, but feeling pretty good about that croak.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know, exactly. People, unfortunately today, just don't believe in it.
Well, for our listeners out there, what remedies do you have? What are some of those traditional family remedies that you have that you can share with us? Head onto our Facebook page and do share them. I think it's quite fascinating, the different things that we use, and let's share them with everybody. Well, that's it. No more croaking for today. We're off, and we'll see you the same time, same place next week.
Can I cough now?
I feel so close to you right now. It's a force field. I wear my heart up on my sleeve like a big deal. Your love bars down on me, surround me like a waterfall. And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now. Right now, I feel so close to you right now.
Listening to Two Sugars, brought to you by Delacro Communication, delacro.co.nz.